in this day of economic.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation under the heavenly Father with grace, mercy, and justice for all.
Listening to Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. The name of my website is also the name of the program. The website is crosstheborder.org, and there you'll find a link to the most recent Bible studies I do, or the last five broadcasts, or is it the last five? No, we've changed the archiving system a little bit. You can get the most recent broadcasts there, and they'll be in an index folder. And they'll be dated, and some of them will have titles, and you might find some other documents and stuff in there that I find of interest. So do take advantage of that there. You can also go to the archives page at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or LibertyRadioLive.com, and you'll find a link there to that. You can find most of my Bible studies. So you can find a few there, but you can find most of them are posted on my website at crosstheborder.org. And I suggest that, one, everybody watch that short video there. It's a nice little primer in the gospel from the beginning and on some other controversial things like the virgin birth, of our Messiah, and the necessity of the virgin birth, why we believe, and why without it we are dead in our sins without the virgin birth. So very important doctrine there to understand why we believe it. And perhaps it will sway some that are unbelievers who don't understand, or those that are not quite sure about the virgin birth simply because they don't understand why it's necessary to believe it for our faith. Okay, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. We'll just start there again since we only got to verse 3. Now considering the things whereof you wrote unto me, is it good for a man not to touch a woman? Now Paul, apparently they wrote to him. They wanted some clarification on, I believe he's addressing one doctrine here that that great counterfeit church has proposed, that people who are married are somehow less holy than those who are abstinent from marriage or celibate, as the priesthood of the Babylonian, the RCC, the Roman Catholic cult. They have their priests and their nuns are abstinent or celibate. Of course, we know all about the problems that that creates, because our Heavenly Father did make us men and women for a purpose. So, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, is it good for a man to not to touch a woman? So, is it better if men don't touch women? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. And, you know, I believe that this is the Heavenly Father's will. And that's another thing I notice, because there's a one Christian so-called dating website that I frequent since I lost my wife. It's been almost 2 years now since she passed away. And it'd be kind of nice to have a good woman around, although a good woman is a very difficult thing to find. Finding the last one was very difficult. And after having two bad women, two evil women, for my first, because I've been married 3 times, yes, just out with it. I'm not ashamed of that either, because I was never a wicked husband. I did not do anything that would lawfully have allowed my wives to leave me. You know, maybe I'm just a man, okay? I mean, you can find fault with everybody, so I'm sure. And they found plenty of fault with me. And so anyway, that's because they turned around and to justify their romantic idolatry, they had to find fault with me, of course, because they had to blame me for their falling into sin. And that's the way it always works. And yes, I had plenty of faults that they could find and point to. Some of them imagined and some of them real. Okay. So we're behind that. Now, my third wife was a beautiful woman. No, she was not a beauty queen. She was not really beautiful in the sense of, you know, what you think of beauty in women. But she had an inward beauty that went beyond that godliness. And the beauty of godliness far, far exceeds all of the beauty of the flesh. Far exceeds it. A much more beautiful thing to me it was and is. If I could ever have that again in a wife, that would be a wonderful thing. So anyway, so I have some experience there. Like I said, some bad experience and some good experience. So, the wife hath not power over power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. There are women and that withhold their body to control their husbands, and this is absolutely the wrong thing to do. This is against God's law. Those are grounds for divorce, like it or not, out there. And I know that in the corporate church, they've raised marriage up to such a high standard that it's even higher than the law of God. And I think that has a lot to do with the idolatry of romance, where you should not divorce for such a cause as this, as a wife withholding her body. But here Paul says, you're definitely a lawbreaker. And, you know, aren't these commandments that Paul is giving us on how to live? And if we ignore this, are we not ignoring these commandments? The Word of God is our law. The Word of God is our command. What it says, how we should live. Are these not commandments? But yes, the husband and the wife, they need to be kind. They need to give themselves to each other. They need to be considerate of the needs of each other. These are needs that we have. And for most men and most women, and I would say that's 99.9% out there, our Heavenly Father desires you to get married. And I was talking about some of these websites and some of these women on there that if it's God's will, and they're getting, you know, 35, 38, 40, 45 years old, and they're still not married. They still don't have children. They're pursuing more schooling, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And they're pursuing career and all the things of the world while they're ignoring what is plainly God's will from His Word, plainly God's will as revealed in creation in their own bodies. Because our Heavenly Father has more than one witness. There are 3 witnesses. There's His creation as a witness, And when that agrees with his word and it agrees with his spirit, then you know you're on to something. And it is obvious by creation, by his word, and by his spirit that our Heavenly Father desires most young people to marry. The world is now teaching the, you know, you got to be your own man, women. Get a career, get education. And they get caught into this cycle where they're, where the only intimacy they have is with their dog, you know. And not saying anything lewd is going on, but yeah, that's their closest relationship. And that's their family now, is their dog. And they're going to school and continuing their career and ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And it's I just comment on it because it is so prevalent in this society. There are so many out there that have never even been married, and they're in their 40s now, never having a family, but they desire it so much. But they're still looking for this goddess or god of a man. And then, of course, the men are looking for a goddess. And but it's never going to happen for them because now they're, you know, things are starting to sag, or they're getting a little overweight, or maybe they're not so beautiful anymore. And most of them will just go on. You know, they won't fornicate, but they'll never get married either. And that's just the way it is. And so let's continue here. So he says, defraud you not the other in marriage except with consent for a time. So there's no excuse except for consent. And that means that you're going to tell your husband or your wife, look, you know, the husband may say to his wife, I'm going to fast for a week. And fasting includes our regular, you know, conjugal activities. So, and of course, the wife is going to consent. And it may be the other way around, too. And but it does say, with consent. Defraud you not one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. So that's your only reason for withholding. It isn't because you're not getting your way, or because you want to control the man. And it's usually the woman who controls the man that way. It's not very often the other way around, though I'm sure it happens both ways. And he says, just for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. So there's your only good excuse. So, and fasting does include fasting from all gratification of the flesh, be it drink, food, and conjugal duty in marriage. And he says, and then come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. He says, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself. So he's not. It's not the former which he speaks by permission, but it's what he's going to say now. He says, this is not a commandment. And he's clearly delineating and making a difference here from what he just got done saying. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment, for I would that all men were even as I myself. See, you know, the Catholics, they got it all wrong. They took on Peter, who never went to Rome, as their pope, and Paul was their man, you know. They could have turned his not of commandment into a commandment. They got it all wrong. They got the wrong man and everything, because Paul spent so much time in Rome, but I guess Paul's name wasn't close enough to the father of Catholicism, you know, Simon Pater, or Popa, or Pope Simon, you know, the first pope. Yeah. Anyway, you can read about, you want to read about the first pope, Simon Pater, or Father Simon, because they called their great men father in those days. So you had Father Simon. It wasn't Simon Peter, it was Simon Pater, as in father. And you can find that document if you go to the archives page at firstamendmentradio.com, and you click on the button there for Cross the Border Archives. And you'll find it in the direct in the index directory there. You'll find that document. It's a PDF. And it's a good read. You should read it. It'll open up your eyes to the beginning of the counterfeit church, because it began very quickly. So he says, I speak this by permission and not by commandment, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift from God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than it is to burn. And yes, this would be easier for the older men and women to follow Paul's example. Of course, it is believed and widely held that Paul, being a Pharisee, well, he had to be married at one time, but at this time he is without a wife and he is celibate. About that, there's no doubt by his own proclamation here. So he says, I therefore I say to the unmarried and the widows, and perhaps the reference to the unmarried. Let's take a little closer look there, and it just says unmarried. So that could be someone who's never been married, but it seems like if you were married, then you would be unmarried if you were no longer married. So, but anyway, we'll just leave it at that, and. It is good for them if they abide even as I, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And of course, he's speaking of to burn in your lusts, or to be inflamed, as he says, to be on fire with the passion, you know. And it's a natural passion. It's a God-given passion, because I'm going to tell you what. Without it, the whole idea of procreating and conjugal duty is just ridiculous. Because without the passion, without that gift from our Heavenly Father, because it is a gift from our Heavenly Father, the enjoyment of it is a gift from our Heavenly Father. And it's one that He meant for us to enjoy within the bounds of His law. Although it can be enjoyed without the bounds of His law, because most people do, in the world, that is. But He says, if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And as I was saying, that without that passion, without that burning passion that our Heavenly Father has given us as a gift, the human race would have died out a long time ago, because nobody would do it. Nobody would be, it would be just for procreation then. Oh goodness, you know, we got to do that. Because if we don't, you know, then we're not going to have any children and the human race is going to die. Well, believe me, without it, our Heavenly Father is very wise. He knew that without it, we would have died off a long time ago. And the human race just would be no more. So he says, if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I. So now he's going on, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. Let not the wife depart from her husband. And to you men out there, this makes it even more difficult for us men out there looking for a godly wife. Because perhaps we've lost our wife, or we've had a wicked wife that has taken off, or we started following the Heavenly Father and getting into His law and seeing the evil in the world around us and separating from it. And perhaps our wife didn't like us separating from the world, as the world, as the Word commands. Even though we treated them with kindness and everything, they still may have left on their own. And so we find ourselves in the position where we are lawfully looking for another wife. And the problem is, you go to these websites out here where these women are, and you have to check it out. You have to dig and you have to find out, because you'll see that most of the women on these websites are divorced. And they're divorced according to the world. And most of them initiated their own divorces for unlawful causes, and they are unrepentant. And they could divorce you in the same way too. And so what you want to find out is, are they lawfully divorced according to the law of God? Were they abandoned by their husband? Did they have a lawful cause for being in the position that they are in now? Or did they simply, because I've talked to some and they've left their husbands for very light reasons. And their husbands did not want them to leave. They left their husbands for unlawful reasons. And some of them for adultery, because they were wooed away by some ungodly man or whatever. And of course, that didn't work out either. So now they find themselves out there. And, you know, I believe what the Messiah said. And he was fairly strict on marriage. And he said that if you put away your wife, he was talking about marriage, that if you put away your wife, and I have to go back, maybe I'll have to look that reference up. And perhaps I'll look it up during the break. We have a break coming up, so I can... But anyway, for anyone out there that really is interested in betrothal, marriage, and divorce, I have a Bible study, and it is quite exhaustive, and it's on my website at crosstheborder.org, although it's not posted. You have to email me and ask me for a link to my betrothal, marriage, and divorce Bible study. It's not light. And it's somewhat controversial, so I ask people to email me for that, and perhaps I'm going to redo it again in such a form that I can post it for anyone who wants it. But it's there. I mean, if anyone searched for it just by searching out the term "romance is idolatry," you could probably find that page just by simply Googling it. Romance is idolatry. I've never tried that, but you could probably do that. So anyway, email me. You'll find a link there on my website, crossborder.org. You can email me and ask me for that exhaustive study on betrothal, marriage, and divorce. And so what I do is I go through the whole scripture, and I found a few scriptures since then that I could include, but it is quite an exhaustive study on those topics. And those topics I put together because they are all related. So I have really studied deeply into those three topics. And this is of course what we're reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is a part of that study. Anyway, here comes our break, and we'll be back in a few minutes, and I'll look up those references so we can cover this a little more completely before we move on. Don't go anywhere.
Love to sing your praises. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing. So glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. So glad.
glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you came to save me.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and today we're going through 1 Corinthians, and I went and looked up a couple references here, and where the Messiah says, and you'll find this recorded at Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, he says, "And I say to you, Whosoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Well, it's fairly strict, isn't it? That's, I think we need to dig a little deeper into that. And then we'll compare that with what Paul says. First of all, someone said to Moses, why did Moses then command a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And before this, as he was talking about, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. So we have here a little teaching, right, on the, of course, there are no little teachings that come from our Messiah, but they're huge when you really dig into them. So he says, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. From the beginning, it was not so. He says, I say to you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication. And what does that mean? Okay, fornication, and this is a man putting away his wife except for fornication. And of course, fornication, the word is pornia, which includes, and he has it right here, includes adultery, incest, figuratively idolatry, fornication. Okay, but I would say in context here, fornication could even include withholding sex. When you couple that with what Paul wrote about not defrauding one another, that would be included in the pornia. And basically what this narrows it down to, this word fornication or pornia, it narrows it down to sexual sin, impropriety, or the withholding thereof. Because if a woman withholds her body from her husband, then she is robbing him of his posterity, of the ability to have children, because he can't have children without her. And the other way around, if a man will not, because it was very important in this culture, it's not like the American culture where nobody wants children and they kill them before they're born and practice the idolatry of birth control and abortion. Society was very different then. A woman wanted children. A man wanted children. This was a very godly thing and desire. And like I said before, that even creation itself screams to us that it is God's will for us to have children. There's no way around that. But of course, the wisdom of men is a little bit different than the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. So he says, I say to you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication. So we have an exception here. So if you put your wife away for anything, for any cause, and this works both ways, a woman who leaves her husband for any cause and shall marry another, because if a man is out there fornicating, visiting the local whorehouse, he is threatening the life of his wife. He is threatening to bring disease if he's out there practicing homosexuality and then coming home to his wife. Say he's what the world calls bisexual, another abomination. Then he is threatening his entire household. He's threatening his wife with the disease of this, you know, STDs and death. And death to any child that she may have that could become a carrier of that disease. So we have the exception there. Our Heavenly Father realized, he knows that there are evil people, and good people may end up married to someone evil. It can happen. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to anybody. You just never know. People can change too. And they do change. That's why the scripture says that we have to endure till the end and we'll be saved, because some people do not endure. They just do not. It can happen, and it does. So he says, whoever should put away his wife except for the exception of fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. This is men and women, both. Yahshua doesn't make any difference here. He's saying, you know, even in the society, the Hebrew men could have more than one wife. And he's even talking to them. They may have more than one wife. He's saying, if you put a wife away unlawfully and you marry again, you'll be an adulterer. And you cause your wife to be an adulterer. Now that's pretty stiff. That's pretty hard to take. Because he says, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. And I think there's something lost in the translation here. Because this doesn't quite jibe with what Paul says. So perhaps we need to read this a little differently. Because if a man, an evil man, takes a new wife, because this is what they were practicing in Israel. A man could have as many wives by the Hebrew law as he wanted, as he could take care of. That's what the law fairly says, that a man can have as many wives as he can take care of. If a man took a wife after and he couldn't take care of them, then he would be at odds with the law of God. I mean, that's what I've nailed it down to in a fairly thorough study of the law. In the Hebrew law, a man could take as many wives as he could actually take care of, and any more he would be stepping over the bounds of the law. So that's where the limit is. And that's not, you know, it's like the, what is it, Islam, they limit a man to 6 wives. And, of course, in Roman Catholicism, they practice, what do they call it? They practice, what is the word I'm looking for? Matrimony, which means one woman. That's absolutely Roman Catholic, matrimony. And of course, matrimony, one woman, or the woman being supreme, that goes to goddess worship. But we won't go there. We're not going there right now. So anyway, just getting back and what they would practice, and that's what really was addressed in Malachi, is that the men would take a new and younger wife, and then they would put out the older wife, okay, because perhaps she couldn't have any more children. And they would just put her out with nothing. And our Heavenly Father compared that to violence in the book of Malachi. And you'd have to go back to Malachi for that. But so I think there's something wrong here. Because Paul says that if a wife is abandoned by her husband, as it would be in the case which I just addressed, that she would be free. And, of course, the freedom there would be free to be remarried in that case. So what I think that our Messiah is saying here and is lost in the translation is that a wife, likewise, a wife which leaves her husband for an unlawful reason will be living in adultery if she's joined to another man. Now, that's the only thing that makes sense. And also is in compliance with the rest of the law and with the writings of Paul. So I'm just saying that there's something lost in the translation here, or a little mix-up in the translation. So I would interpret this scripture that way. So to read it again, and perhaps with a better understanding or a more proper interpretation, he says, I say to you, whosoever shall put away, that is, divorce his wife, except for fornication, and marry another, committeth adultery. And he says, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. I think what he's saying is if anyone who marries a woman which has left her marriage, as a man who could put away a wife for an unlawful cause, he's going to live in adultery. And a woman who leaves her husband for an unlawful cause will continue in adultery, even if they get all the paperwork in order. Okay? Because what I think the Messiah is saying here is your paperwork is worthless. Because we have a different record in heaven. I believe that's what it comes down to. is that the record that our Heavenly Father has in heaven is different than the paperwork that you may have down at your local courthouse. So I'm looking for the paperwork in heaven. And that excludes probably more than 50% of the divorced women on your Christian dating websites, because I would put them into this category here with a little questioning, because I want to know, and if they're one of these, I want nothing to do with them. Listen to me, men, because you will just be marrying yourself to a harlot and living in adultery. And I know many men who are married to women who left their wives, and they call themselves Christians too, but they're married to women who left their husbands unlawfully. They got all the paperwork in order, but I'll tell you what, they didn't look at the paperwork in heaven. They did not look at the record in heaven to see if she qualifies to be remarried to a godly man. And I believe that's some pretty good teaching there. Anyway, let's jump back to our reference in 1 Corinthians, and we'll pick up where we left off, chapter 7, verse 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Now here's the commandment for a woman that leaves her husband for any cause whatsoever. Okay? And that means no cause. So you just can't live with the man anymore, woman. I mean, it could happen. You cannot abide him for whatever reason. Here's his commandment to you. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. You know, I've been married 3 times, as I say, but you know, I've never been married by the law of man. Never went and got a license from Caesar, or whoever, the state of. Never. Always got married by the law of God. 3 times. And this may seem astonishing. What do you do? See, if you're married by the state, well, then you go get a divorce by the state. But you know what? The state can't give me a divorce. It can't grant me a divorce. I can't go to the state and petition the state for a divorce from my first 2 wives who were wicked and left me unlawfully, and who are, or at least one of them, at least I think one of them may be, and I don't believe she's ever been celibate. We just don't know about the way she's living because she's so far away and she doesn't broadcast. But I know one is living in adultery with another man, and she's never married him. And even if she was married by the state to him, she would still be living adultery just by the things that I'm reading. And I just realized that, you know, perhaps there may be some people listening to this, that this is cutting to the quick. But let it cut to the quick, because we need to learn the law of our Heavenly Father. And I ain't read nothing from the Old Testament here, so you got no excuse. You can't say the law was nailed to the cross. These are commandments from the mouth of the Messiah and from his apostle to the nations, to the Gentiles. So he says, But if she depart, let her remain unmarried. And that's what I told my second wife. You're living in adultery. And if you want to, because she wants to pretend like she's, you know, she loves God and all that. Of course, she doesn't fellowship anywhere. And we know it's all just something that she tells herself and lies she has in her own mind to make herself feel justified. After all, God wants her happy. And if she's not happy living with her husband, then God wants her to go be with the one that she's happy with. Of course, her God is the idolatry of romance. You know how that goes. So, the commandment says that she should remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And she hasn't come to me to be reconciled yet. And also, she could probably come to me and say, you know, Nicholas, I was wrong. What I did was awful. What I did was against God's law, because it plainly was. And I have confessed my sins, and I repent to God, and I'm coming to you to ask your forgiveness too. And could you please give me a writ of divorce? Under God's law, the man gave a writ of divorce. And then if I gave her a writ of divorce, it would set her free. It would be an act of forgiveness, actually, because she'd be coming to me asking me for forgiveness. Either that or she'd be asking for reconciliation, which I don't know what I'd do in that case, but, you know, I'd have taken on a case-by-case basis, because I don't have to be reconciled to her. Not after, you know, years of adultery. I can just give her a writ of divorce, but she'd have to ask me for it. And that's how the writ of divorce worked with the law of God. The man could grant it, but some, and what man wouldn't if the wife asked for it? And perhaps some men didn't want to let their wife go, but they wanted to leave anyway for whatever cause. But he says to remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. So that's the choice that you have. And it says, and let not the husband put away his wife. And of course, for any like cause, and if we balance this with what the Messiah said, and the put away means divorce, we can add the exception except for fornication. He says, but to the rest, speak I and not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. So there we have a rule for a man who becomes a believer and has an unbelieving wife, or vice versa, and Paul gets to that, and to the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. And I'll tell you what, don't preach to him, don't try to be the priest of the household either, because you'll drive him away. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. You know, this is peculiar and a powerful statement. And something else, and you know, I really hate to get too personal or reveal too much. But I know of a couple that are married, and the wife became a believer after being married to a husband. And it makes me think of this verse here. For if the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. So let me read that again. The woman which has a husband that believeth not. So there's the situation. Two people got married. The wife becomes a believer and starts following the Messiah. And she has to follow this commandment. It says, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. So we have a situation, we have a wife, and I know this couple personally, very good friends, and she is living with an unbelieving husband, and he is pleased to dwell with her. He is so pleased to dwell with her, in fact, that he allows her to homeschool his children, their children, and teach them the Bible and take them to church. He don't go to church himself, but he's pleased to dwell with her and even have more children, and allow them to practice their beliefs. So he's really pleased. And it says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. Wow, that's powerful. Can this man be saved by having a believing wife and being pleased to dwell with her? That seems to be an indication of sanctified. Sanctified? What does sanctified mean? What's the hagiadzo that we talked about? He's consecrated. He's purified. He's made holy by the wife. That's what it says. And also, contrarily, the wife is sanctified by the husband. And here I see a principle of coverture that we get from the Old Testament, but I see a coverture that works both ways, not just from the father or the patriarch, but I see it working from a believing wife. So I see that there is a spiritual equality that enters in that perhaps wasn't revealed before. But the woman And see, now this woman that I'm talking about and this man, this couple I know, this woman is submitted to her husband in everything. If she don't agree, all she can do is pray. And yes, it's difficult for her, and because they differ on some things, but she exemplifies a submitted wife, and she tells him that I have to do and abide by everything you say according to the law of God, and she lives it too. And you can see why he's pleased to dwell with her. Because how many ungodly men have a submitted wife? I'll tell you, not very many. And usually an ungodly man makes his wife submit through force and fear and threat, if he can, because the world will help her escape, you know, by their laws. Anyway, well, we'll continue here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. And this goes back to what I said about something getting lost, the interpretation, in the reference that I read from Matthew 5:32, where the Messiah said, was talking about adultery and how it continues after, if a man puts away his wife. I believe that's a mistranslation because of what Paul says here. Because if an unbeliever depart, so if a man puts away his wife for an unjust cause, he doesn't cause her to commit adultery, but if he takes another wife, he is living in adultery. She is free, according to what Paul says here. So we're balancing Scripture with Scripture, and we find this liberty here where Paul says, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage, which means they are free in such case. But God has called us all to peace, he adds. So we'll pick up here and perhaps finish this thought next time on Cross the Border. Remember, in everything you say and everything you do, hallelujah. Yeah.
Rain, rain on my face. Hasn't stopped raining for days. My world is a flood. Slowly I become one with the mud. But if I
casting down all ways and sin. together.